coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who still is freaked out about that cucumber thing that was so weird. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. So Rob Has a Podcast here live on a Sunday night to talk about Cliff's HOH. Cliff won his way back into the house, and now he's HOH, and now has two men on the block who not only share cucumbers, but also the nomination chairs, Jack and Jackson. We got a great show tonight because we have a guest from last season's Big Brother here joining us back on the podcast, the great Scotty Salt. And Scotty, how are you?
I'm doing good. I already ate my cucumber, though, so I can't share with you guys.
Okay, good. Well, I hope you brought enough for everybody. And if there's any film on it, we understand that you have to go get up and go wash it in the bathroom.
That was so gross. I can't believe he did that. Like, he thinks it's okay.
Yeah, that was really bizarre. We'll talk about that. A lot to break down. A man who's had a very a roller coaster of a weekend, Mr. Taron Armstrong. Taron, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm definitely still confused about the cucumber and what's happening with it and why it was shown and where it was shown and everything about the cucumber, really. I mean, if you'd like, Rob, I'd like to propose that that we ignore the rest of the episode and just spend an hour to deep dive on this cucumber, because I'm very
confused. Yes. I'm all aboard.
Yeah. Was the cucumber, Taron, the highlight of the season for Jessica? Did we reach peak Jessica tonight with the cucumber?
I think it might be. Like, I think they're like, you know what, guys? At this point, it's looking like Jessica's going to be sticking around for a while. We've got to give her some content. Something. What kind of content? What can we give her? She was grossed out by the cucumber, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nasty.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we've got a lot to do here tonight to talk about Cliff's HOH in a busy weekend. Get your questions in. Hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is standing by. Don't forget, Summer of Stein Week is going to be this week. So I'll be back with Eric Stein coming up on Tuesday this week. So get your questions in. Hashtag Summer of Stein. And then also you can email us summerofstein@robiswebsite.com or robiswebsite.com/voicemail. Okay, Scotty, let's check in with you, Scotty. Always with the hot takes. Very excited to hear what you have to say about Big Brother 21. But first, Scotty, what have you been up to?
I travel all the time. I just got back from Wisconsin. I'm going to Boston with Kevin JC for some kind of hot air balloon fest in less than a week. And after that, I'll be in Orlando for Give Kids the World. I'm just always traveling.
Tell me about the hot air balloon fest, Scotty.
Well, apparently, because I got the whole download from Kevin. All you do is, I don't understand the point of hot air balloons. I think it started at the space, but I don't really know the point of the hot air balloons.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we didn't really get too much of that, Scotty, but I'm sure it's good. Hopefully, hopefully we'll be okay with the connections. And if not, we'll figure out another way to get to hear what you have to say.
All right. That was straight from the movie. All you need to do is.
Yeah, we got it. Okay. All right, Scotty. Let me try this again, because I want to know from you that back around this time in a year ago that you ended up being the HOH. And I know Taron, tell me about Scotty's HOH.
Scotty's HOH last season. I obviously am the expert on Scotty's HOH in this podcast. He decided to put up the two bros. Isn't that right, Scotty? You decided to put up two bros.
I did decide to put up two bros, and they had to be put up, just like these two have to be put up. I hope it all pans out. I'm a little bit scared with Christy's power, because not even she knows what she's going to do. But yeah, you got to get rid of that voting block, especially when it's never going to be in your favor. Like, those two will never, ever like be pro Cliff. So you got to get rid of that block.
Can you talk about the decision that you were forced with a year ago, where you're in this spot, you have the HOH, and you want to take a big shot. You have these two bros who are in the house. Do you feel like this is similar at all to what Cliff is dealing with?
I do think it's similar just because his is a little worse, though, because he actually got evicted and had to win his way back in. But like, I was on the block the week before and I told Caitlin, I was like, you can't trust those two. They're like the two everyone seems to be scared of. You should put them up, because if everyone's scared of two people, they're probably a problem,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot of alliteration there. So like, you should do it. Cliff kind of had the same thing. These people obviously weren't on his side. They vote to evict him. He's on the block, has a hard week, wins HOH. And I'm glad that he has like the balls to be like, hey, they're obviously not for me. They're strong players. We need to get rid of them. So I completely applaud what he did, because it's exactly what I would have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scotty, also another thing that you and Cliff have in common, that Cliff was voted out of the house and then won his way back in on Thursday night.
Yeah, but he's not going to get revolving doored. That's the big difference. He actually won his HOH, but thank God he won that HOH. Because if somebody part of the six shooters would have won that, I don't know why Jack is so good at all these comps. He's the one person you don't want to be good at all these comps, and he's constantly good at them, and it drives me nuts because I just want him out. But yeah, it's different and the same, because he's actually like won his way in a position to be in power to change the house, where I just kind of got like thrown right back out.
Yeah. Taryn, how did the editors do with this episode? Do you feel like that they, I don't know, it was a dense episode. Friday was a super busy day with all the meetings that Cliff took. Did they do a good job of fitting everything in?
I think so. Yeah, for the most part. You know, we saw Jackson's plan and what Cliff was going through, whether he was going to take the shot. You know, I think one thing that they undersold was just how much Cliff doesn't want to have to work with Nick and Bella. He was mentioned a lot of times that, you know, the way that he feels personally, that he would not like to work with them, but the numbers just speak for themselves. And so he has to at the moment. That's why he has to take a shot at one of those six. And so that's something that I felt like wasn't on the episode, but for the most part, I thought they did a good job.
So we'll talk a lot about Cliff and the decision that he made in this episode, but I'd like to talk a little bit about the damage control that Grateful had to do then with Nick and Bella after the vote. Scotty, that was, I thought, very humorous. Some of the excuses that people gave to Nick, especially about like, you didn't want us to vote out? We thought you wanted us to vote against Cliff.
It was so painful. Like, they didn't even like try to lie about anything. It was just like, well, we thought we told you at the last second. And it was just crap like that. And they completely left them out, and they had no plan to get out of it. Like, once, I mean, obviously they didn't think Cliff was coming back, but even if David came back, there was no plan to be like, hey, Nick and Bella, we completely left you out, and Sam. And now they're just like trying to pick up the pieces. And Christy, everything Christy says, it's just like, holy cow, are you thinking? Are there thoughts in your head? Because she just spews out nonstop crap. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was today, but she said something and then she always makes that same expression where her jaw just drops. And I don't understand what her game plan is. She doesn't have like any kind of long-term thinking. Everything is like in that moment. Like, it's not an intuition thing, because intuition takes the future. She's only in the present and not thinking about what's going to happen. But yeah, they did a bad job. It was like humorously bad. Yeah. Like, they didn't even try to lie about anything. They should have told like some kind of elaborate lie, being like, oh, this person told me that we were going to vote them out, and like trying to like shift the blame all on each other, instead of all just being like, we left you out. And then Jack just like went on the attack on Bella.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a couple of different versions of it. It was some misunderstanding, Taryn, where they like Christy and Tommy tried to say, no, we tried to tell you. We tried to tell you. You weren't listening. Yeah.
For days we were trying to tell you.
Yeah.
And then this thing happened at the last second. We never considered it until the last minute. That's what happened. But also, we were trying to tell you about it for days. And also, Jack has been, I mean, Jack lets them know things have been weird for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
For weeks. I mean, it happened last second. But for weeks, this has been building up.
Right, right. It's your fault that this happened, but just so you know. My favorite was when Jackson tries to explain to Nick about what just happened. I thought this was good.
I didn't, so just tell me. So you, if I can trust you, why can't you guys trust me?
We can trust you.
Can you?
Yes.
But then why didn't you tell me, Bella Sam?
This was not something that was planned at all, literally. It wasn't a deceptive thing.
This was not something that was planned, Scotty. It was not a deceptive thing. Yeah, it happened.
We just all happened, all six of us in this alliance, we just all happened to vote the same way against what you wanted to do because of your vendetta against Nicole. It just happened to happen that way.
Yeah, that's the way it broke down. What are you going to do? It happens. It happens sometimes. Okay.
Sometimes everyone betrays you. It just happens.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Grateful was trying to get all on the same page. Oh, yeah. Sam was also pretty rich in this moment where Sam was beside himself when this happened.
Apparently, flipping votes is the new thing in Big Brother when you're in an alliance.
What?
Why is he mad about that? He tried doing that a couple weeks ago.
He was trying to switch the vote on Kemi, Taryn.
Yeah, and you know what? Despite the fact that he's yelling about it in the diary room, he does still trust Christy after this.
Apparently, they'll change the vote on you.
Wow, that was actually, that's you. I thought that was a recording at first. I thought you hit the button.
Thank you, Scotty. Appreciate it. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the new thing. The new hot thing on Big Brother 21 is trying to switch the vote. Did these guys not see Big Brother 20, Scotty?
I don't think in the first 20 seasons anyone's ever flipped a vote. So I don't think it would matter if you watched it. I don't think it's ever happened.
According to Sam, that's the new hot thing. Okay. So Cliff is going to be in this HOH. Taryn, it's always after they have like the second part of right after a double eviction. They always end up with some sort of like a weird thing that's like on a board, like guessing graphics.
Yeah. And I feel like, especially with this season, they've really slowed the competitions down so that you can play at home, because these are games that everybody wants to play at home. And we're going to get the very like detailed analysis on each board of badges, because it's very important that we see all of their little jokes and get all of the details of all the puzzles.
Scotty, did you have a favorite merit badge patch?
I just like the screen where it was all the ducks. There were just ducks everywhere. And I was just like, I resonate with that board.
Yeah. I wish that they would have had some sort of Big Jeff soul patch on the board. That would have been a good one to add to the merit badge collection.
It would have had to have been the right answer too. Anything with Jeff has to be the right answer.
It has to be. All right. So it came down to Cliff versus Jack. And Scotty, they really set it up to be an epic showdown. The old man versus Aquaman.
Yeah, and then Jack called himself the bad guy. Old man versus Aquaman, and then Aquaman says he's the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't make any sense. In what universe is Arthur Curry the bad guy? This one, apparently. He's fake Aquaman. I'm happy the old guy won. If we would have had another Jack HOH, I don't know what I would have done.
Oh, yeah. Just close up shop at that point.
Yes, this has been the week with the most potential that we've had this year, which is good. I'm happy there's at least like a chance for it to be something to be excited about.
Yeah. And so Cliff ends up winning the HOH, and we get to see Cliff go to work here, Taryn. We saw a lot of Cliff's celebration. You've seen a lot of HOH celebrating. How would you rate what Cliff did, Taryn?
Far better than anybody that dances with other people. For one,
Cliff's dances are by himself.
Let's call exactly this victory dance number two.
Yeah.
And I'd probably put it like one tier below Scott Dennis in Big Brother OTT talking about these Big Brother streets, even though that wasn't technically a victory dance. It was an anticipatory victory dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scotty, Cliff has his hands full here because he knows about that there is a six that voted against him, but he's sort of forced in this position where he really has to herd cats literally and figuratively.
Oh, yeah, because all the people who aren't in the six shooters, they don't want to betray them, but they also want them out.
Yeah.
So they're just like kind of surrounding Boss Hogg and just like, yeah, we'll be on board with this, but I don't think once his week is over. anybody except Nicole will actually like stay loyal to him. This is the point in the game where if Sam had a brain, mm-hmm. he would see what's happening and he would go over there too. And then they would have some numbers. But yeah. I don't think that they're going to be smart enough to do that.
Taryn, we saw a little bit of Cliff trying to get together with Nicole, Jess, and Kat of saying like, hey, let's shake this up. Cliff's angels, if you will.
Yes. And I think we're starting to see some of the issues that Cliff is facing with this HOH, which is that the, you know, Grateful Alliance / Six Shooters have been running the house so smoothly for the last month that that everybody is kind of just used to being on the bottom and on the outs. And they don't really all get along, these bottom feeders, these outcasts. In fact, some of them, like Kat, really just don't even like being called a bottom feeder or an no. outcast because they don't see themselves like that. And so it's very difficult for them to want to get together and work together and band together because they all have their own small little ins to the big group. And they don't want to give up on those small ins to join, you know, some other group of people that they don't particularly care for.
Yeah, Scotty, could you talk a little bit about the house dynamics this season that we know that in a lot of ways this season has been a polar opposite from Big Brother 20, where the two sides were so dug in. Instead, we have like this big, giant alliance. And then there's just these couple of people who have not been treated well, who are all on the outs. What do you make of the way that people from the outside should be looking at this bigger group?
Well, I don't agree that it's completely different, because what Taryn was just saying, where there's some like a main group and then they had little connections with everybody outside, that also existed in 20. Like JC had like Fest. Casey and Haley would hang out every now and then. I would hang out with Tyler. Rockstar would hang out with like Sam. Like there were those small connections, and there were a lot of times we didn't want to break those connections to like draw the line in the sand. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say it's completely different, but from the perspective of trying to figure out the best way to word this. Okay, can you repeat your question one more time so I could like...
So the people that are on the outs, that what's the best way for them to try to break this thing up that they're not in?
They just have to be bold. That's literally all it is they got to have confidence in themselves and not try to hide behind other people. They got to have confidence in other people that will stand with them, which in this case would be... I can understand why you wouldn't have confidence, Jess, though. So that's a big mm-hmm. challenge. But they got to have confidence in Nicole and Kat. And if they can get Sam on board, and if they get Nick and Bella, like confidence in each other to knock out the six. And I don't think they have that. They see Jack and Jackson, they're confident. They seem like they can win everything. And they don't want to leave that shield mm-hmm. and like expose themselves.
Yeah. And then you also have the issue that there are people like Nicole, who went to war with Nick and Bella last week. And so you need all of these people to work together, because you're at this point in the game where you have these 10 people, or is it, no, 13 people, and 10 will vote. And it's very hard to be able to put this coalition together to go in your favor with the numbers being what they are right now. And so we get a lot of meetings with Cliff in this episode, Taryn, and we spend a lot of time on Cliff and Jackson.
Yes, that's in part because Jackson is going to volunteer himself for the block. And we know from watching the feeds that Cliff was pretty sure he was going to put Jack on the block, but he wasn't sure who he was going to put up next to Jack. And so Jackson's volunteering for the block really did help ease that path into existence, where if he didn't volunteer, that might not have been who Cliff decided to go with.
Yeah. I liked Jackson setting this up, what he was going to be doing to go talk to Cliff. This was Jackson in the diary room.
It's time to get down to business, and I've got to sell Cliff Hogg on a plan that I've contracted.
No, that's not the right word. Unless has Jackson contracted anything in the Big Brother house, Taryn? Do we know this?
There have been a lot of opportunities, I'll tell you that.
He's a shooter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So we'll keep you posted if we find out if Jackson contracts anything in the Big Brother house. But yeah, so he made his shot. Scotty, it seemed like that Jackson had insulted Cliff, where that Cliff talked about that this young guy, that he thinks he is selling me a bill of goods here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people who are that confident always think that they're selling. Like, if you want to compare it to last year, too, after Brett had his meeting with me, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he went down to level six. Was like, I had a great meeting with him, and mm-hmm. he's going to do exactly what I want. Like, it's just, it's like a parallel of confidence. Like, because Cliff didn't actually give him anything. Cliff was just kind of like, yeah, okay, which I think is what you want to do as the HOH. And not only did Jackson feel super confident, he like bulldozed over Christy and was like, Christy, go tell him about your power.
Right.
And then she did. So like, it makes sense for him to think that he did a good job, because to this point in the game, when he tells people like Christy to do things like tell other people about your power, they do it. Yeah. So like, I understand why he's like that mentally.
Now, Taryn, Christy told a lot of people about her power on her own, but yeah, Jackson really volunteers for Christy to go tell that to Cliff. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Christy, Cliff did not know that prior to this conversation?
Correct.
Okay. To me, it seems like, was this just a threat to Cliff, or was this in the spirit of cooperation?
I think Christy saw it a little bit as a threat. You know, she is under the assumption that she's the reason she didn't get put up on the block last week in the veto ceremony, because she's still convinced that Nick really was going to put her on the block until she approached him and told him about her power. And she Tylered him, as she would say, or Nick might say, into not putting her on the block. And so I think that she thinks that if she does this again, then she will have similar results.
Mm-hmm. But Scotty, it is a little bit of a heads up where Cliff now knows what she's able to do. Did you have a thought on what Cliff should have done with his nominations now knowing that power? Do you feel like that is there any way he should have gone instead of Jack and Jackson?
No, I completely agree going Jack and Jackson. The only other option would have been to put up Holly and Annalise, because they're on the other side and you honestly don't believe they have a chance of winning.
Mm-hmm.
Because to this point, they haven't proven they can win anything. So, I mean, he could do it to where he puts them up, gives him a better chance to win the veto. He wins it and puts Jack or Jackson back up.
Yeah.
But even at that point, you're not guaranteeing you get Jack and Jackson.
Right. We got to see both Sis and Holly meet with Cliff in the montage of all the people that don't give Cliff the time of day, stopping into his room to go and to talk to him. Taryn, what'd you make of the Jackson interview with Cliff?
Jack interview. Yes,
you know that, I'm getting crossed up. But tell me, did Mr. Big Brother announcer guy, did he get crossed up, or is Mr. Announcer guy making a funny tonight?
Who will win the power of veto, and will it be used to save either Jackson, Jack, or Mickey from eviction?
I think the announcer guy is making fun of the producers for making everyone call him Mickey.
What do you think, Scotty?
Oh, I think they're making fun of him. They should have done it last year, too, with Rockstar, because she still goes by Angela.
Yeah, just let me play that again in case you missed it the first time.
Who will win the power of veto, and will it be used to save either Jackson, Jack, or Mickey from eviction?
Yeah,
he's definitely making a funny.
Yeah, that is rare. I feel like that they do not editorialize too much in that spot.
Yeah, well, I think they don't usually put cucumbers in bathrooms either. But
no,
things happen in this season.
Yeah, that was. I guess should we break that down a little bit?
I have more? The cucumber or the cucumber. Joke?
The cucumber.
Okay, because I think the joke has something to do with on that show Love Winston that's on.
Yes.
Like, that announcer is super, like, jokey. Oh, and I think a lot of people are saying they like it.
The announcer is getting jealous.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen a person eat... I've never seen one person, Taryn, eat a cucumber the way that Jack and Jackson were eating. I've seen people eat a pickle like that, certainly. But I've never seen any person ever... just like eating a cucumber.
You've seen two people share a pickle?
I've seen people share a pickle, but I've seen people like eating a pickle like that, but not a cucumber.
Yeah, I can't say I have either, but I can't say I've ever seen anybody with the eating habits of Jackson before to begin with. So I would only imagine that this habit came from Jackson himself, and Jack took it on, you know, Paul and Polly style. And so now they're both eating cucumbers and sharing them and even bringing them to the bathroom.
Scotty, did you ever see anybody wash produce in the going to the bathroom instead of the kitchen?
I've never seen anyone bring their cucumber into the bathroom, no.
Yeah. And then he held it in his, there were so many things that he went to go, he washed it in the bathroom and then transported it in his mouth and then handed it to Jack, who then went back to eating it.
So are we giving him the benefit of the doubt to say that he went into the bathroom to wash the cucumber, or was he just in the bathroom? Because like there's a perfectly good kitchen with a sink. There's a perfectly good bathroom sink. As far as I'm aware, Scotty, I don't really often see into that bathroom, but there's not a sink in there, right? It's just a toilet.
No, there's like a bowl of fresh water that you can dip it in. It's just a toilet,
Good point. See, I thought I was under the assumption that there was a sink in there. So did he went and he used the bathroom then and then came out and then did he wash the 100%. Cucumber at any point?
According to the edit, it didn't look like it.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
It looks like he... I mean, look, maybe we'll have to flash back to this on the feeds, but based on the edit, what it looked like is he grabbed a cucumber out of Jack's hands, snacked on it on the way to the bathroom, entered the bathroom, went to the bathroom, came out of the bathroom, put it in his mouth to hold it while he, I guess, washed his hands, and then walked back to the living room, snacked on it some more, handed it to Jack, and then Jack also snacked on it.
And I mean, at least he washed his hands. That's sanitary,
I guess. And the reason he took it was he said that there was like a film on it, but he's continued to eat it with that film.
I think he was like, you know what? That has some film on it. Let me grab that and that. Let me try. Oh, you know what? It's actually pretty good. And I need to go to the bathroom. Hold on. I got my wires crossed. Now I'm going to the bathroom and this is so good. And so, and then he just got confused and he came back and he was like, you know what? Film's fine. Tastes good.
Nasty.
Okay. All right. That is one that we will have to go back and study the tape on that to see if we can if we can get anything.
You know, the audience the audience has been waiting a long time for the edit to turn on Jackson because it seemed pretty favorable thus far, and I think that this is just they're finally giving the audience what they want because everybody wanted to see Jackson go to the bathroom with a cucumber, and that's exactly the most accurate depiction of Jackson on the show.
Yeah, well, I thought Jackson did come away, other than the cucumber gate, pretty good again here tonight, Taryn. We got to see Jackson talking with Nicole after that it was Nicole who was saved by the six and telling her how it was his group that was responsible for her staying.
Sis, I've been Jack, you know, this whole time. That's why we haven't been comforting you and consoling you.
Yeah, I just thought you guys were being douches.
Yeah, we just thought you guys were being douches. Is that possible, Scotty, that after this was all over, that they were just tricking us? They were just trying to make us think that they were all being douches?
Well, with how many of them seem to know each other, I mean, they could have planned that beforehand and been like, hey, let's be just douchebags to everybody. And then we come out like, hey, we knew each other. It was a plan the whole time.
We were just trying to throw you guys off the scent. Just make
it's totally meta. It's all about trolling. You guys will understand. It's an art piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... All right, so we end up with Jack and Jackson on the block. And Taryn, in the diary room, neither one seems to be taking it great. A line has been drawn in the sand.
Yes, yes. They're very upset that they are on the block, and they are going to come back at Cliff with a vengeance because he's, you know, he's definitely this dangerous guy in the house. And they've been trying to take him down, but they can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So... Scotty, do you think that Cliff could potentially, and we'll talk about the spoilers in a couple of minutes, but do you think that these are the kind of nominations that Cliff would be able to then not be the number one target for the other side of the house coming away from this week?
Oh, he'll he'll definitely be the number one target coming out this week. But if he can, because as we were talking about earlier, those people that he's trying to align with, they're not going to actually gravitate with him. They're never going to have his back, which is the problem. But he'll be the number one target for sure. And he's just got to find a way to navigate it, or he has to make somebody blow up and have them be the number one target. I mean, he'd always try to hide behind Nick and Bella. That's, I think, his only option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's take some questions, and then we got a lot to talk about when we get to the veto and ramifications there with Scotty, and we'll talk about how the predictions for the rest of the week in a little bit. But let's take a question from Mary, who wants to know, on eviction nights, did they tell you the votes going into commercial breaks? Nick has said a couple times that he knew votes had flipped when it was 2-2 going into commercial break. How else might he find out those votes at commercial? No way they tell you guys in the house what the vote count is, right, Scotty?
No, we don't hear it until Julie says the final.
He must have just been like counting the people that went to the diary room, and he would have like a running count.
Yeah, he must either tallied it in his head as they went in, or after the eviction, whoever the first four people were told them what they said their votes were. Mm-hmm. But they don't tell you any of that.
Yeah, no, they're not keeping a running count. This is a question from Jack Tobin. Has there ever been a more monotonous host for a comp than Nick? There was no emotion in his commentary. Yeah, Nick is not great TV. That he has been, a lot of drama, or responsible for a lot of drama, I guess, in the house. But in terms of a TV character, not great yet, Scotty. What's the key to being a good competition host?
Well, he doesn't get excited for competition hosting, but he gets excited when he can underhand a dart 10 feet, which is amazing to me. It's all energy. It's being able to take the lines that you're supposed to say, beat them in, because you do them all in a row. Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to just have the energy to do it. It's all energy. He just does not seem to want to have any energy. Because him and Bella just lay around all the time.
Yes, he tires quickly from what I understand. Taryn, do you think that is it unfair to judge Nick on this performance because that he was just coming off of this blind side? Did that take some of the wind out of his sails?
I don't think so. I think that the way that Nick talks, it's very level in general. And he tends to just talk a lot. He's just talk at this level. It's just constant talking and just really fast talking. He just talks on that level. And so when they're in the diary room and they're like, Nick, we need more energy. We need excitement. What I really enjoy about Nick's performance is that he gives none of that. He just gets louder. And Cliff is the one. No, that's too much. I already put too much emphasis. It's hard to do. It's hard to be loud and monotonous at the same time, but he manages to do it. And so I applaud him.
Okay. Let's take this question. This is from Justin. Crazy how the game has become so tribal that even being HOH doesn't get people working with you. Tommy told HOH Cliff that they aren't on the same side. Is Cliff not using power enough, or are they just stubborn? Scotty, when we saw Tommy talking to Cliff, there was a part of the conversation where they were talking about how, like, wouldn't it be great to, at some point in the game, be working on the same side? Were you surprised about the frankness of those types of conversations that were being had?
Especially out of Tommy, yes. Because Tommy's game is very, very floater-esque. Like, he really, really doesn't want to push a whole lot of buttons or anything like that. So to hear him be the one to be like, hey, we're not on the same side, is really surprising to me. I agree with them about like the game becoming so like tribal that people aren't willing to work with people in power just because they have power. They're going to be sticking with their people no matter what. But yeah, out of Tommy especially, it's surprising to see him be that frank.
Taryn, how did Tommy end up doing in the real time with talking with Cliff?
I mean, ultimately, he did pretty well. Both him and Christy should have been considerations for being targeted. But as I mentioned, they managed to keep their ties with Sam in particular, who trusted Christy all throughout, even the blind side, and afterward worked on protecting her with Cliff. I think the reason Tommy was being so open about sides is that Cliff basically had come out and said, like, look, clearly you six are working together. There was no denying it at that
point. You guys voted me out about 12 hours ago.
So Tommy was essentially, and what they had talked about prior to the HOH competition was, I hope that some way down the line, we're able to continue to work together, even if we end up on different sides. And so Tommy was kind of referring back to that conversation when he was talking to Cliff here. And, you know, unfortunately, I guess for us, Tommy and Christy were pretty successful in convincing Cliff and Sam, at the very least, that, that they are amenable to, working with Cliff and Sam and these people, and that, you know, Tommy and Christy, they're the ones we can pull. And that has always been the mistake of the people in the house so far, is that they think those people are the ones that they can get over to their side. And it's never true.
Okay. Let's take a question from Joe Daly, who wants to know, was Jessica more disgusted about the cucumber or finding out that there was an 8-person alliance? Which do you think was more upsetting for Jessica, Scotty?
Nasty.
Definitely the cucumber. It seems to be the first observation she's made in this house.
The 8-person alliance thing doesn't bother her that much, I don't think.
Oh, not at all. She just kind of like said that in passing and was like, the cucumber, though. Yeah, it's definitely the cucumber.
Yeah,
they're arguing in there like there's some sort of final 8. What?
There's only one cucumber for a group of 8. Yeah. Okay. I think we have to start to get to the spoilers. I think that all the questions from here on out are very much pertaining to the week in spoilers. Scotty, is there anything else non-spoiler that you want to talk about Big Brother 21? Anything that you've observed over these first 3 or 4 weeks of the game?
Just in general, mm-hmm. I don't understand how this group can continually meet up that big in open public spaces and talk and people not be worried about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause they're constantly just together and in a big group. And they've even talked games in the kitchen before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how people aren't worried about that.
Yeah. Not a big concern. They're not, too worried about it, to this point. I mean, I feel like that they've been discovered by every single person, that's not in the alliance at this point. Right, Taryn?
Yeah, I mean, there are some people worried about it, but unfortunately, there are some people that are not, and those people are named Jess and Kat, mm-hmm. and they are not worried about it at all. Yeah. And so it's hard for the other people to be worried about it, because the only other people left at this point are basically Cliff and Nicole. Yeah. And so I do think that we should be applauding Cliff here, because he managed to win this HOH. He's willing to take the shot, and this is a very dangerous shot. There's a whole big alliance. There's a group of 6. They have add-ons to that alliance. They completely run the house at this point, and Cliff is just taking a dagger to the middle of everything and saying, let me try and rip this apart with my hands, because there's nothing else that we can do. And he's taking the shot, he's being bold, and I'm very, very happy to see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to something that we talked about a lot in Survivor: The Edge of Extinction, where you had people like Rick Devins and ultimately Chris Underwood, who, after losing, they came back in and they said, basically, I have a second wind here. I'm going to do whatever. I've been voted out. So it is interesting to see Cliff in this position with, sort of like, I've lost this game once. What are they going to do? They vote me out again?
Yeah, and I mean, this is the moment that Cliff has been waiting for. You know, he's been waiting for a rift in the alliance. Unfortunately, it came at his expense, but he was lucky enough to get back in, and now he wants to take advantage of this rift, knowing that Nick, Bella, and Sam are now on the outs. That leaves numbers on one side, and that if he can tear apart the other side, then he has the opportunity to change the game, and that's what he's attempting to do here.
Scotty, let me just also ask you quickly about Camp Comeback in terms of how they executed this twist with the first 3 people who were out of the game living at the house. Did you like the Camp Comeback twist, or do you think this was a bad idea?
I overall like the twist. I think it would be cooler if they did it in jury mm-hmm. rather than the beginning of the season. I also don't like that they did it in a way where David had to miss the first 2 weeks and then enter, because then he's just out 2 weeks. But overall, I do like the idea of the twist of having the people who are going to come back in still in the house to see what's going on. It gives them the ability that if they were to win their way back in, people can't just be like, oh, let's make a deal to get out the battle back first. And it's easy for us to do that because they're not here. Where if the person's in the house, they may not be as willing to make that deal because they're around to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Scotty, did you feel like that the relationship between Cliff and Ovi gave you any Steve and Scotty vibes?
I can see where you would say that, because Ovi was pretty much by himself. Cliff was kind of working a couple different angles.
Yeah, oldest guy in the house, and one of the younger guys in the house hitting it off with a bromance.
I can see where you'd say that, but I think it's different because I think me and Steve clicked sooner. I think theirs was more of he was in Cap Comeback, nobody was talking to him. Mm-hmm. Cliff was making sure he was had a relationship with everybody and just didn't forget about him.
But do you wish that Summer of Steve got to be in Camp Comeback and stay in the house for 3 weeks?
As much as I want to say yes, I'm going to say no.
Yes.
Just because I know I would have spent all my time with him and not anybody else.
Yeah. Okay.
And he would have been in my HOH room the entire time. We would have done 2-on-1 meetings. The whole thing, it would have been bad for him.
Summer Steve 2018.
Never forget. Okay. All right.
Never.
Let's get into the spoilers. How is Steve doing? Good?
Steve's doing fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
He's just with his family, chilling, having problems with his dogs. You know, dogs.
I know what's wrong.
Oh, his dogs just don't like each other.
Oh.
You got to keep them separated.
All right. So hopefully everybody is able to give the dogs two pickles or two cucumbers, so then they'll get along. Okay, let's go ahead. Let's get to this.
One of the dogs' names is Jack.
Ah, okay, not good, not good. All right, and before we get to our dessert, our live feed spoilers, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at Haagen-Dazs. And Haagen-Dazs knows that the best moments are made even better with a side of their most extraordinary ice cream. That's why this summer you can treat yourself to any of the 9 flavors of the Trio Crispy Layers Collection with 15 layers of decadence. You can indulge like never before. You'll be like Jackson in the refrigerator just going to town, because inside every Trio Crispy Layers ice cream carton is a harmonious blend of texture, crisp layers, and the finest ice cream. And you know it's made with the utmost care and finest ingredients because it's coming to you from Haagen-Dazs. 50 years of experience delivering the extraordinary ice cream that you crave. Trio Crispy Layers have chocolate flavors now with 30% more chocolate, including triple chocolate, velvety white chocolate ice cream, complemented by smooth milk chocolate ice cream with the delightful crunch of crispy Belgian chocolate layers and non-dairy flavors like non-dairy dark chocolate, crunchy peanut butter. Taryn, forget the plain yogurt and check out 15 layers of extraordinary flavor. Each bite delivers layer after layer after layer of extraordinary flavor. The finest ingredients from Haagen-Dazs give you the delectable taste that you love. Your taste buds will thank you. Summer just got sweeter. Your best moments deserve the most extraordinary Trio Crispy Layers from Haagen-Dazs, perfect for every moment, especially if you're Cliff Hogg this week. Head on over to Haagen-Dazs.com to discover more and pick up Haagen-Dazs Trio Crispy Layers at various stores near you. All right, so we're going to get into the spoilers. We'll be back again on Wednesday if you were going to bounce out here and don't like spoilers. Summer of Stein coming as well. Plus, much more we'll tell you about. Be subscribed to the podcast. We're not going to do a bunch of plugs right now. Okay, let's do the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Making it rain spoilers. Okay. All right. All right. Busy, busy weekend of live feeds, Taryn.
Yes.
Yes.
And no dance for the spoiler song today.
No dance for the spoiler song.
I was going to say, it's funny how polar opposite you two are with that song.
Yes. Well, we are in mourning.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's talk this through. let's talk it all through, because I know everybody is on pins and needles about what's going to happen. But let's just catch some people up to speed in case people had a life this weekend and they were not following the live feeds and are just catching up in this podcast. Over the weekend, we had our power veto competition on Saturday. Scotty, what gives? This wasn't hosted by anybody from Big Brother 20?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yes. Okay. First time this season, unless we see something on Wednesday that we, but no alumni hosting, right, Taryn?
They hit JC in a briefcase or something.
We don't know yet. But, so we had our power of veto and, we end up with a power veto winner Taryn. Who is that person?
Jackson won the power veto. Okay. Probably the worst person to win it here.
Okay. All right. What was the competition? Do we know?
They had to climb some things. There were buzzers. I'm not entirely sure, but I think it was a little bit physical, but I don't know.
Okay. All right. Jackson with the power of veto. And now this sets up a showdown here where we have the possibility of Jackson can take himself off the block. Christy with the diamond power of veto could make Jackson have the ability to change up the nominations. But Taryn, could you give us the intriguing situation that developed over the weekend?
Yes. Well, basically the situation is that Christy with this diamond power veto, if she wants to save Jack, which she does, all she has to do is activate the diamond power veto. Jackson will put up Bella as the replacement, and then Bella will go home because they won't have the votes to evict Jack at that point. I mentioned earlier that Cliff tried to get those outsiders together, but Kat is not willing to side with them. She is siding with the six shooters and will be voting to evict Bella if Bella goes up on the block. She wants to keep Jack in for now. So that is the downside here. The twist has basically made Cliff's HOH useless and is basically just one of the six shooters HOH runs here. So Cliff did have a conversation with Christy, and Christy implied that she would be using the power to put Bella on the block. And Cliff, sensing that that this is something that is unavoidable at this point, decided, all right, you know what? If I can't beat him, I gotta join him. And he decided to offer up, you know what, Christy, you deserve your power. You keep your power. I'll put up Bella for you as long as you make a deal to keep me safe for the next coming weeks. He also, in this conversation, did his best to throw Jackson under the bus, saying that he had an alliance with him and that even after he got voted out, Jackson went to him and said, hey, we're still with you. We know that you were trying to, you had the best chance to come back into the game. And Christy was very upset with Jackson. She even mentioned that if Jackson was the person left on the block, she would not be using her power, but because it's Jack, she will be. And so Cliff has given in and decided, all right, well, I might as well side with them. If I let her keep her power, then now she has her power. She feels more comfortable and they won't go after me in the next coming weeks. And I won't be as screwed as I would otherwise. And so that is where we are now. Now there was hope that maybe Cliff was lying to them. And maybe he was trying to trick her into not using the power so that he could blindside her. But it appears that hope was not supposed to be a hope, and we shouldn't have hoped. And it does look like the case that Cliff will be putting Bella on the block. And it does appear to have worked, that the six shooters got together and discussed that they will be keeping Cliff safe in the coming weeks because he made this deal.
All right, Scotty, let's talk this through. First off, for Cliff, that do you feel like should he take that shot that they're not going to use the diamond power veto, right? Right, Taryn?
As of right now, no. Okay. Because of the deal, Christy is not going to use
Cliff
the veto.
Would have the opportunity to snake the people from Grateful who voted him out and put up Christy or anybody else from that side that he chooses, but he could potentially burn any social capital that he might have in the game. Do you think he should shoot his shot anyway?
If I was him, I would betray Christy so much. I would put her right on the block. Do I think he will do it? No, I think that he's going to
now
do what he said he was going
to
do.
We all, I think, would like to see it. Do you think he could rebound from that? Or do you think that he could make history, go out in a blaze of glory, and then be evicted from the house, you know, in 1 week's time?
I think it would be possible to rebound, but he would have to get those stragglers. He'd have to get them on his side. He would, obviously, Nick and Bella would be so indebted to him that he could use them. He'd have to get Nicole on his side. I think the thing that really blows my mind is we're talking about the votes. In the vote that you saw earlier, where if it was Bella and Jack, Nicole would be voting out Jack, right?
Yeah, Nicole, I think Nicole Woodside, and unfortunately, Nicole even came out and told Christy that she would have a tough choice ahead of her if Jack stayed on the block against somebody else, giving away what she might have done, even though it's not even going to happen. And so they're now aware that Nicole, despite them saving her, is not really on their side. But yes, she would have been a vote to evict Jack.
Yeah, so it's amazing to me that she can have a fight with Bella like she did, get saved by the people who aren't Nick and Bella, and still not want to work with people that saved her. Like, that should tell the rest of the like floater people who aren't in that alliance that we need to get rid of this big group, because she's literally sacrificing everything personal to still get rid of this group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the issue that Cliff has, that he talked to Kat, and Kat immediately after the veto went up to Cliff and said, I do not support you putting Tommy on the block. And she later is going to have a conversation with Cliff where she advised him not to, essentially snake Christy or do anything shady, that he should want Bella out of the game. That's what she wants him to do. She would not support anything other than that. And so he definitely would not have Kat on board. Without Kat, he doesn't have Jess either. And Nicole, in a situation where she has to work with Nick and Bella, who also hate Nicole still. Nick was talking about wanting Nicole out next week, as recent as yesterday. And you've got Sam, who trusts Christy way too much, and Tommy. And so this, Cliff just doesn't have any support, really. Mm-hmm. He has a couple of people that would be grateful for the move and that would
relatable
what he wants to do, but none of them can work together because none of them like each other. And in particular, one of the main pieces there, Kat, is unwilling to side on that side of things, and she wants to go over with the six shooters.
All right, so let me then be a little bit optimistic here, Taryn, and maybe this is where we get ourselves in trouble, but I am feeling maybe still a little hopeful about Big Brother 21, especially because I just watched three episodes of the TV show Years After Years this weekend. So by comparison, Big Brother 21 is the feel-good show of the summer. Okay. So that being said, is it possible that Grateful is doing a favor to the stragglers in that removing Bella, the biggest cancer on the side of the stragglers, potentially the one person who is preventing the other side of the house from getting together because they all hate her and she's poison? Is it possible that this could be a long-term win for the people that outside of Grateful to have Bella gone, where maybe without Bella, Nick and Jess and potentially Kat and Cliff and Nicole maybe could find a voting block that they might be able to pry free after a wedge was driven between the six?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that, even before, when we were considering, is this the right move for Cliff? Because Cliff had to promise a lot. He had to swear on his family. He had to like really just put his entire reputation on the line with Christy. And if he went back on that, his word would mean nothing in the house. And that's what's got him here to begin with. And if your word means nothing, you need people to back you up. You need an alliance that will trust your word, because otherwise you're in a really bad spot. And so he would have to really burn a lot of bridges, and it's very early on in the game to burn that many bridges that hard. Even people like Dan and Will waited a bit longer, and they had people to back them up.
Day 33 with 65 days to go.
Yes. So even before this, I was considering, like, I think it might still be worth it. But, part of that is just me wanting it to happen. But there is still another path on the other side. And part of that is what Cliff was talking about to Christy with Jackson, where Christy and Jackson, there's some tension starting to form there. Even just Cliff putting Jack and Jackson up on the block next to each other has started to build resentment in Christy and making her think about, who do I choose between Jackson Jack and Jackson. It's obviously Jack. I don't like Jackson that much. I don't trust him that much. She revealed to Cliff that Jackson was the rogue vote. And his information about Jackson forming an alliance with him caused Christy to be a lot more skeptical of Jackson. And she expressed those skeptical thoughts to Tommy and to Kat. Jackson, in the meantime, has also expressed to Kat that he is skeptical of Christy, and he has been thinking about taking a shot at Christy soon. And so that's something that Cliff and Kat both discussed today in terms of not making the big move, making the safer play, taking Bella out of the game, and then they can continue to work together with maybe some of the other people. They do like Nick without Bella. They do like Sam, that maybe they can work together and continue to try and pry these two sides of the alliance
also
apart.
That could be potentially another bridge. Scotty, all last season we talked about the looming level 6 civil war that really never ended up coming together. Do you think, could we get a grateful civil war?
I think it's highly likely, because especially if they take Bella out right now in the house, I think Bella is viewed as like the poison. When she's gone, there's no way it's not Christy. With how she freaks out all the time, there's no way Christy's not viewed as a poison. So I think it could happen. And I think it'll happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Taryn, I think this sets up a really interesting week. You know, if Bella goes home, that I do feel like that the house is very fluid all of a sudden.
It's possible
very,
now.
It's very fluid. The house has a fluidity that maybe we could not have seen a week or so ago.
I think the important thing for Cliff is that he should be safe for at least a week or two. And that's a crucial week or two, because with an endurance competition coming up, it's highly likely that one of the six shooters is going to win the HOH. And they are now, instead of targeting Sam and Cliff, they will be targeting Sam and Nick, or Sam and Nicole, unfortunately for Nicole, because of what she said to Christy about how she might actually be a vote to evict Jack. They have now turned on Nicole once again. So Nicole is now in the firing line along with Nick and Sam. Those are the three people that are really in trouble. Jess could also go up as a pawn, but Cliff and Kat are the safest people in the immediate future. And so they're hoping that they can ride out a couple of those weeks. And then finally, if Nicole wins the endurance HOH, or if one of them is able to win one of these HOHs and then once again try and take a shot, that's when they'll hopefully at that point band together and make a move. Although I do not have faith the Cat would actually side with them even then.
Scotty, you've been through these endurance competitions. Do you see somebody in the house that you think looks like a good person to bet on for Thursday?
Well, Tommy theoretically would be the one to be good at it, but I don't think he's going to want to win it.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to want to win it. Outside of him, usually it's the smaller girls that are good at him, especially if it's a wall comp. So Nicole may be a good pick for that, because she's like tiny, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Nicole is the only hope to win the endurance competition. If it's a wall comp, I think that you have Tommy, Kat, Holly, and Sis all going to be, I think, pretty good at that. And then you have Nicole, who might be good at it, and maybe she'll have a chance to win that. So fingers crossed on that one. And then the other option for an endurance competition is the slip and slide, in which case I think that Sam is probably the only option, the only person that has the ability to maybe beat some of the other
taller. We look for somebody with a longer stride length.
Yes, yeah. The taller people tend to win the slip and slide because they have the longest stride, and you also have to have good balance though. That's the hope there, that maybe Sam can pull that one out, but he's got to beat people like Jackson and Jack, and so that might be tough.
Taryn, we haven't talked about how is Bella potentially handling this series of events.
I think she's starting to give up a little bit, to be honest. Nick, even at this point, is kind of just like, you know, I love her. Things are going to be great. But I didn't realize how bad she was at this game when I started the relationship with her. So, you know, like, hopefully we can work together once she's gone, you know, like, it's basically what his stance is at this point. So everybody's basically given up on Bella's game, and she certainly wants to still be in it and fight, but it's not looking great.
Scotty, Bella has been in the conversation of Taryn's list of the pantheon of all time bad Big Brother players. What have you thought of Bella this season?
Oh, she's absolutely horrible. She keeps no information to herself. She has Yes. No timing whatsoever. It's like the second she finds anything out, it's the other side. Everyone needs to know about it. She admits to being the one constantly who's like telling everybody information and then wonders why people don't trust her.
Hmm.
The whole thing with Nicole, where she was talking at her and Nicole called her uneducated, that was hilarious. She just doesn't have the ability to keep anything to herself or to have timing. She's awful at this.
Yeah. Not good. Not good so far. All right. So I think that it could be a net win if you take away the worst person from the other side of the house. Then sometimes this could be addition by subtraction, Taryn.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to say for with certainty which move is the best move for Cliff. I think there's upside either way. I think this that doing what he's doing is the safer move at the very least, and will keep him in the game longer, which will allow him more opportunities to make it further in the game. Whereas the other option is a lot riskier and could leave him evicted very, very soon. And there are options, there are cracks, there are I think future opportunities that can present themselves. So, you know,
yeah. And let me add, conversely, one of the things that you were talking about this weekend was that this might be a mistake to remove Jack from the house, because that without Jack in the house, it might be easier for Christy and Tommy to, you know, bring people like Sam and Nick into the fold. It'd be worse for Cliff. But Jack is a combustible force inside of the Six Shooter Alliance, and he could be somebody else who is creating problems on the inside. So it could be a win-win. I don't want to get giddy tonight, but you take Bella out of the mix, leave Jack in the mix, and maybe this could maybe accelerate things swinging in a direction that we like more.
Yeah, I think the important part is to have two sides of six shooters that are willing and strong enough to fight each other to maintain dominance of that alliance. If you cripple one side too quickly, then the other side is just going to kind of crumble into the other side.
If you could just give us the sides of six shooters, if you had to like crack it in half right now, who's on which side?
It's very much, it's Tommy, Christy, and Jack. They are together tightly. And then you have Jackson, Holly, and Sis is a little bit in the middle. Sis is somebody that I expect to be here until the final, like, three, maybe. Because Sis is not only in the middle of six shooters, but she's also, like, the one person that Nick trusts, the one person that Cliff talks about, like, oh, I feel like we can bring Sis in at some point. And I don't even... like, she's not even a pleasant one of these players. Mm-hmm. She's very annoying at times in how negative she can be. But she is definitely somebody that could go either way, because she's very close to Holly. She's also very close to Tommy. Mm-hmm. And of course, Jack. But, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Scotty, do you want to defend Sis at all?
No, I don't want to defend her at all. But I do disagree with the premise that... getting rid of Bella is necessarily the safer move. I don't think that's quite true, because we're on what, day like 33, mm-hmm. and this secure side has been in like four different alliances. So clearly their word doesn't mean anything. And the whole getting rid of Bella from Cliff's point of view is completely dependent on the six shooter's word, which to this point, I don't think means anything, because they trade their alliances left and right to like go by week to week. And this is the first time they haven't been in power. So I think the second they're in power, that deal means nothing to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's better if you betray them. That way they either get rid of Jack, who's great in all these competitions, or they can get rid of Christy and her power. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be another flop twist, which would be cool.
That would be cool. Okay, let's get back to the questions. We have a Daddy Taryn. Daddy Taryn has a question.
Ooh.
If Christy doesn't use her power, what is Cliff's best play? Well, I think that's we're at the crux of that right now. Scotty says that the nominee, the replacement nominee, should be who? Scotty.
I think if she doesn't use it, I say you put up Christy.
Put up Christy. Taryn, do you agree? Has Cliff found what is the best move for him?
I would still say that My choice would be for him to put up Holly, actually, because I feel like that would cause more division mm-hmm. in the six shooters. I still would ultimately side with that one. It's so close for me. Like, I don't think there's a wrong decision here. There's definitely a wrong decision when it comes to what I want him to do mm-hmm. and what I great for the season. But in terms of like which way is better, I think it's impossible to predict. And this is one of those situations where I'm just like, you know, I can make a call one way or the other, but it's so dependent in both circumstances of like where things play out. And there are so many variables. So I don't think there's a clear answer.
Scotty, let me go back to Cliff for a moment. And it was such a big moment in the season, the Cliff notes, where Cliff was talking to the cameras and then was overheard by Christy. Now, if I recall correctly, that did you say that you talked to the cameras, but then they didn't show it?
No, I'm proponently against ever telling anybody what I'm actually thinking. I never talked to the cameras. I never wanted anyone to hear what I was thinking, ever.
Okay.
But it's so easy to overhear it.
Okay, do you think that Cliff was very foolish for what he was doing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, from the fans love it. Yeah, fans obviously love hearing whatever someone's thinking. But I think from the game perspective, you should never, ever say out loud what you're thinking.
Yeah. Tara, we got to see some Cliff notes in the diary room, at least, tonight.
Yes, he gave us a Cliff Notes just for America, he said.
Yeah. I'm just going to say to all the Cliffomaniacs out there, I'm sorry I'm not giving you guys what you want this week, but there'll be more weeks for Cliffomaniacs.
Yeah, you know the thing too here with Cliff is that I think that if he saw this in the light that we do, I think he might make the decision that we're talking about where he betrays Christy. But I think from Cliff's point of view, he was making the decision that the fans wouldn't like by not going after Nick and Bella, because they are the bullies in his eyes. And he doesn't realize just how bad the other side has been. He knows that Nicole was bullied by Bella in particular, and that Bella is the villain. And so I think in his mind, this move to betray Bella is like the, all right, here we go. Bella and Nick are going to be so mad at me, but I'm taking down, I'm doing the fans' dirty work here. I think that's part of it too. So, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. See, but even in his mind, he knows Jackson is the one that shut Ovi out. Like, so he can't think that they're not bullies too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jackson somehow has them all convinced that he's like a nice guy. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Tom Palmer says, is it wrong that I'm somewhat hoping for Cliff to screw this up just to hear Taryn's epic rant against Twist? I don't think that Taryn is going to rant against the Twists on this one. Are you?
Is that sarcasm?
No, I think that you don't seem like you're ranty tonight.
Well, I did talk about it this morning, but I mean, there's only so much you can say before you're saying the same thing over and over. But obviously, I think that these powers they're not designed to help the majority alliance, but they in effect almost always do, because, and I talked about this morning, the majority alliance is more likely to win a power because there are more people playing for them. And these powers usually require having a majority alliance backing the move in order to work effectively. So even if the minority manages to get one of the powers, it usually can't be used effectively.
Right. Big Jeff gets a coup d'etat in Big Brother 11, and we're chasing that 10 seasons later.
I mean, at the very least, that did help the minority, right? Like, yes, that was also a bad twist, but for a much different reason. that actually, because it was a fan vote and the fans will vote for the minority, and then it was something that could actually work and be effective. So, but it was way overpowered, which is the problem too. So, you know, it's a very difficult balance, and I do not think they have perfected it by any means.
Okay. All right. This is a question from Ramen. Do you think that Nick and Sam will let Cliff put up Bella? That's going to be interesting. Now, Taryn, how are Nick and Sam going to react to this?
They are not going to be happy. And Cliff is prepared for them to be very, very upset with him.
Yeah.
he plans on keeping it from them. And again, this is like Cliff is like, here we go. We're playing Big Brother. I'm about to blindside Nick and Bella. I'm taking a shot at the bullies. And so they do not know, and they're going to be very upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Is that a bad thing though? Because Sam keeps getting blindsided, and every time he's mad for like 10 seconds, and then he just goes back into living.
Yeah. Well, this is a new thing.
Apparently,
on Big Brother.
Flipping votes is the new thing in Big Brother when you're in alliance.
Yeah.
Apparently, you're putting people up on the block and blindsiding me. It happens in Big Brother.
Apparently, nobody tells me what's going on around here.
Am I supposed to do one too? And apparently I'm all right with this.
What are you going to do? Scotty, would you go on Survivor? That's from Keith Noir.
Oh, man. I can't swim, but I mean, yeah, why not? I really don't think
like
living in it would be that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to travel. I like to suffer.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that want to talk about the possibility of putting Kat on the block from Cliff's point of view.
Okay.
And this is actually something that I was talking about on Twitch when we were discussing like how to get Christy to not use the veto before Cliff even made the deal with Bella. I was like, he should offer Kat as a compromise and say, you know what? I know you don't want Jack to leave. How about we come to some kind of compromise and we put somebody else on the block? And we were already, you know, complaining about Jackson. What if I put a Polly? Would you be okay with Holly leaving? You said you were fine with Jackson leaving. Then you don't have to use your power and I get something that I want. It's a nice compromise. Or the other option is Kat. She's not even in the six, but she's a number for the six. Mm-hmm. And so that's, in my eyes, an even more appealing compromise where it's like, all right, Kat is she's not in the six. Let's put Kat up on the block. We can send Kat home. Jack can stay and you don't have to use your power. And we all get a little bit of something that we want. Unfortunately though, that was not something that he was thinking about and trying to offer in that moment. Would it have worked? Maybe.
Yeah, I think that losing Bella is, I know she's a number, but I think that there is more to be gained by not having Bella in the house for the side than to just simply have her number, because she's not a reliable number. And then I think that you have Kat on the block, and then, you know, now there's animosity with Jess. And I know that, you know, you're potentially losing Nick and Sam from the side, but, you know, where are they going?
Yeah. Yeah, Sam has nowhere to go. I mean, he'll have been betrayed by Christy again, and by Cliff. Yeah, so
yeah, he's got a trip. Okay, all right, Tara, can we talk about some potential breakups in the house?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Taryn, as the showmance turns, is it true that we do have maybe some more trouble in paradise?
Oh, there's trouble in paradise, Rob. And you know, it's so strange because we've seen that, you know, Jackson, he's so great at relationships and he's always in stable relationships. I mean, he was with Kat for like a good 2 weeks before that went south. So I'm very surprised that another 2 weeks later, he's having more trouble.
Yes. Okay. All right. So Jackson and Holly, they had been the new hot couple in the Big Brother house. Well, what's the issue here?
So the issue is that they have been getting a little busy on the feeds, and Holly is regretting it a little bit. She doesn't really want to be doing things on the feeds, and Jackson took a lot of offense to that position. Yeah. He was like, well, I don't want to be a regret for you, and you know what? I'm a really black and white guy, and you know, I think that from my perspective, it's very simple. I'm just gonna bow out of this one and make it very easy. So we don't have to regret anything, and we don't have to deal with the issue of being on the cameras or anything else. So
I saw this clip on Twitter earlier today, Scotty, and I could not believe the audacity. It was.
Oh, that you were going to show the clip.
No, I don't have the. I don't have the. I don't have the clip. It would be a good one to pull if I could find it. Somebody send it. Yes. If you send it to me on Twitter, in my mentions, I'll play it. of Jack's son on his high horse about how,
oh man,
can you believe that she would she's gonna, you know, hook up with me, and then 12 hours later she's gonna feel bad about it. Well, I'm like, screw you, no way.
It's just the perfect escape for him. He didn't want to be in a relationship. He's using this.
And he's like, as he does, making himself out to be the hero here, where he is the martyr, sacrificing his own, you know, feelings for the
grab crotch. Oh
yeah.
Yeah. That, she was concerned about being on the feeds. And then, you know, it's not like that she told him, hey, we have to wait until, like, when, what was it, James and Natalie in Big Brother 17, where it was like, hey, James, we have to wait until we get out of the house, so until we can hold hands.
Yeah.
You know, she's still having a physical relationship with him. She's just having some remorse about it after. Like, oh, no, you can't, no buyer's remorse the next day.
She's contracted some remorse.
She's contracted some remorse, unfortunately. So
you're either with me or you're against me. That's how Jackson feels about sexual relationships.
Yes. Okay. Here, let me see if I can play this clip real quick. This is courtesy of Miriam on Twitter, the great Maximus Mom 22. Let's see if we can hear this.
If you're going to be embarrassed, then fuck it. Everything's going to stop and we'll go back to square one. It's done. It's very simple. I don't take things personally, but I'm not about to sit there. You're not about to sit there and initiate things with me one night. 12 hours later, you wake up and you're just sitting there stressed out, embarrassed, and regretting everything because you're worried about the feeds. Should have thought about that 12 hours ago.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to do it? Fine. You want to have regrets? Fine. I'll make the decision for you. If you're not going to make it yourself, then I will go ahead and cut things off now.
There you go.
There you go. There you go.
That literally sounds like he's given that kind of speech before.
It does.
What an awkward conversation could you imagine to be in a room full of people and somebody is saying this out loud and you're on camera. It's like, boy, what a jerk. What, like, and, sis doesn't go tell this stuff to Holly, Taryn.
I you know what, she might have, because they you know, sis had her own conversation about Jack a little bit later, so they might have been a little bit of a back and forth, but this is out in the open. Holly came in and he talked to her about it too, so.
And does this open the door that could Jackson and Holly Jackson and Kat get back together?
I hope not.
With the diamond power of Vito. You should get her in there.
You never know.
Yep. Scotty, what'd you think about Kat crying in the episode tonight about David being gone?
Well, I mean, that just shows how, like, alone she actually is in the house, which is probably why she's so desperate to cling to the six.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all it shows in my point of view, because I don't know why she'd be crying for other reasons, because she has nobody else in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is conspiring against her.
Yeah, I guess people are conspiring against her. Yeah, I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying that this is fake, that Kat did not really care about David.
She's trying to influence us.
You know, I'm not usually one to say such things, but if anyone is going to play up a certain aspect of their character on the show, it would be Kat. You know, so I don't know. It could have been genuine. It could have been fake. Take it or leave it.
Okay. All right. So actually, what about Jackson and Sis? Could he go for number three, Taryn?
You know what? I don't think
crack we need between Jack and Jackson.
I don't think anybody has been able to pull off the hat trick before in the Big Brother house. So we'll see.
We'll see.
I mean, they share a cucumber. They might as well share her.
All right. On that note, Scotty, have you checked out Winston on Love Island?
I've literally only watched the parts with him. I fast forward through everything that's not Winston. He's way too timid. He doesn't use his body language at all. Like, every now and then he'll throw like a little jab and like tap their arms.
Yeah.
But, like, he won't point his body towards people. He leans back. He's like trying to be too cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is what he's doing wrong. He needs to be a little more engaging.
Did you ever see Winston and Brett share any produce in the Big Brother house?
Well, they always cook together when they were both still there. So they probably shared while they were both there.
Okay.
And never in the bathroom, though, that I know of.
No, never in the bathroom. Tara, anything else that you want to discuss or call to our attention about everything from the weekend?
I think we're basically good there. I will say that I think that the Jackson and Holly breakup is actually a very bad thing for the outsiders, because if Jackson and Holly split up, that makes them easier to sort of absorb back into the group, and they're less of a threat, and therefore they're less likely, I think, to civil war each other.
So what if it's a contentious breakup with Jackson and Holly? Could that open up Holly as a number for the outsiders?
No, I don't think so. I think she will stick with, I think she'll just get pulled into the Sis, Tommy and Christy group. Because again, anytime anybody feels insecure, the first group of people they reach out to are Christy and Tommy. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the whole group of people and I feel like Christy and Tommy are the most likely to work with me. And like, no, it's occurred to zero people in that house that's the reason why, like, they have all the options. Mm-hmm. And because they immediately stick out to you as the people you think you should be able to work with, that's how everybody thinks. And therefore they're the worst people to work with.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what else is going on right now on Robin's podcast and Robin's website, everything we have going on. Okay. Robin Akiva, Need a Podcast, live in Minneapolis. The audio and video is up on robinswebsite.com. A really fun show, live show that we had a really good crowd in person for Robin Akiva, Need a Podcast. And then Love Island week number 2 recap. Find out what Kirsten and Brian Scally had to say about everything when Winston shows up on Love Island. And then The Amazing Race Canada. There was a new twist on The Amazing Race Canada. Find out what Jessica Leese and Dan Heaton thought about this episode on episode number 3 of season 7 of The Amazing Race Canada. And then we've got our Survivor South Africa episode number 10. I believe that is PK who is on is guesting with Mike and Shannon this week on Survivor South Africa's recap. The RHAP BBB&B is here with Mike and Liana playing some games with Matt Ligori. Listen to about the first half hour or so of that one. Very fun to check out the RHAP BBB&B. And the LFC Roundtable is back tomorrow night. Taryn, I listened to the whole LFC Roundtable on Monday night of last week. Very fun to hear what, after a crazy week in the Big Brother house, where the ratings are going to be landing.
Yes, there's been a lot to talk about so far as the season has progressed. And so it's really been a lot to unpack, but we get in real in depth in the roundtable. And I think that we will be definitely seeing the ratings for the players change quite a bit this week.
Some wild swings this week. Check that out. That's Monday night live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Yes.
Go ahead and find that on robhasawebsite.com. You can always go to rhap.live to see whatever show is streaming. If you can't find the exact link on Monday morning, Taryn's going to be back at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Same thing on Tuesday and Wednesday. That's all ready to go every morning. And then on Wednesday night, we will have the Veto recap, and I believe that I'm not 100% that this is sure this is confirmed, but I believe Johnny Mack is going to be with us on Wednesday night. So very excited for the Wednesday night episode. We'll see what Cliff ultimately ends up doing tomorrow with the veto, and we'll have a lot to talk about. And don't forget, I have Big Brother exit interviews. I talked to David and Ovi and Kemi on Friday, and they were really fun to get to talk to. You will want to hear Kemi's reaction to finding out that Tommy and Christy have a pre-existing relationship outside of the house.
Wait, what?
Kemi, I really thought they were gonna say could you not include that part of the interview? I thought Kemi was really gonna be say very inappropriate things that we were gonna have to potentially censor her. Check those out at robinswebsite.com. I should have another exit interview this week as well on Friday with whoever comes out of the house, projected to be Bella at this hour, but we will see how the week changes. All of this podcasting, a million things that you just heard about, made possible by the support of the patrons of Robin's Podcast. Find out more about everything we're doing, our patron-only podcast feed, and much more over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Scotty, thank you for being so patient, sitting through all of those shows we have coming up.
Dude, you guys are busy. It's fun to see.
A lot of stuff going on here with the Big Brother season. Scotty, what are you up to? What should we check out?
I literally just have those two events coming up. I'll be at Speedy Fest in New York and then Give Kids the World in Orlando, August 8th through 10th. And after that, I got nothing. That's where my plans stop.
Okay. Scotty is on social media and that I see that you on social media, you are Scotty Sultan versus the world.
Yes, it's just Scott Sultan versus the world.
Okay, yes, okay. Do you prefer to go by Scott now?
No, I'm still fine with Scotty. Okay. I actually don't have a preference. I just started with Scotty because I was working in guest services and people are just genuinely happier with you when you go by Scotty.
Okay, Scott. So it was just a character thing.
I mean, I guess a little if you think about it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you,
I don't have a preference though.
Are you still battling the world?
I'm always fighting the world. Okay. And if the world's on my side, then I got to change things up and I got to change what I think.
Do you like being the underdog? Do people view you as the underdog versus the world?
I think so. I think people think the world has more numbers.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a good ploy to be the underdog favorite of Twitter, maybe.
Or it's a ploy that I really like the movie Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that what it was? It's a Scott Pilgrim versus the World reference?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. Taryn, did you get that? You knew that?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Scott Pilgrim.
I thought that you were Scott Sultan versus the World because you have so many hot takes.
It could be a little column A, a little column B.
Yeah. I actually really liked, I was looking at your Twitter that, if I may have a Lion King spoiler. I also have a Lion King podcast that I recorded over the weekend going up on post show recaps. I compared the 2019 cast versus the 1994 cast to see which Lion King had the better cast. You said, honestly, the Lion King 1994 would have been better if Timon died in the battle. I think you're right.
Thank you.
I think that was
most good. People are just like,
call.
No, it would have cinematically been a better storyline and there would have been way more metaphorical things happening. But it's a kid's movie, I understand.
Yeah.
But I want my kids to watch.
Mufasa died.
Yeah, but there's always the one at the beginning. There's always the one that dies. And apparently more than one good guy death is too much for a Disney movie.
Yeah, because the whole, especially in the 2019 film, they really, Hakuna Matata leads, that because life is meaningless, that I feel like that to give his life to save Simba, I feel like that would have, raised the stakes.
It would have raised it so much. I mean, and they literally leave their haven to go help him at Pride Rock. It would have been nice if there was a price and not everyone just survived it.
Taryn, just to bring this full circle, should Cliff sacrifice his life in the game by making this all in move so that the resistance can ultimately triumph?
Yes.
Yes, that's a good answer.
No, you know what? Because look, I get it. He's playing his game and not the audience's game, but I want it to happen, Rob.
Could it be like the Obi-Wan Kenobi of that he might need to sacrifice his game so that the others can win?
Yeah,
but too bad we don't have a lot of the heroes to root for. Like, who are we rooting for on that side? Nicole, that's it.
If he was playing his game and not America's, he wouldn't be giving us Cliff Notes. He cares what we think.
Yeah.
Do it.
Okay. All right.
Make sure you also check out the Taryn show with Brittany.
Yeah, we should have had that. Yes. I listened to that last night, Taryn. It was great.
Thank you. It was very, very fun. Brittany is somebody that is like super easy to talk to and she is so just naturally charismatic. It was really, really fun to talk to her and get a little bit of insight into her brain. Mm-hmm. How it works.
Yeah. No, definitely go check out that Brittany Haynes interview as well on the Taryn show on the Wrap Ups feed on the website. Very, very easy to find on Taryn's Twitter as well. Okay. And then, of course, follow Armstrong Taryn on Twitter, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Anything else? Instagram.
Instagram. I did just post a picture with me and Orwell.
Yeah. Why don't you bring Orwell to the nighttime podcast? I mean, the owl, if anything, should be on the nighttime shows and not the morning shows.
He's always watching.
Yeah.
He's always Cliff's wife. Cliff's
wife. I thought about having him out here, but I didn't want to take his helmet off. And I thought that was too spoilery for the first half of the podcast.
Sharon, I was having to explain to my kids that, you know, I always watch you in the morning when I do exercise in the garage and then my kids are there also. Like, Dad, why does Taryn have an owl? I'm like, it's complicated. It's a long story. It's hard to explain why Taryn has an owl with it. All right. So for Scotty and for Taryn and Orwell, Scott St. Pierre, take care, everybody. Have a great night. Bye.